Baseball on the Brink, The Crisis of 1968. Bill Rycek, R-Y-C-Z-E-K, is the author. It's a McFarland book, and Bill joins us. Bill, nice to have you on the show today.
Good to be with you, Marty.
Yeah, pleasure. I'm going to read a little bit from the back cover, because this really explains this book. It's an outstanding book. You did a great job of taking a real slice of American history and showing how it affected baseball. But let me read a little bit of this, then we're going to ask you how you got into this one. Major League Baseball was in crisis in 1968. The commissioner was inept. Professional football was challenging the sport's popularity, and the game on the field was boring, with pitchers dominating hitters in a succession of dull, low-scoring games. The major leagues expanded for the 1969 season, but the muddled process by which new franchises were selected highlighted the ineffective management of the sport. This book describes how baseball reached its nadir in the late 60s and how it survived and began its slow comeback. The lack of offense in the game is examined, taking in the great pitching performances of Denny McClain, Bob Gibson, Drysdale, and others, and the colorful characters like Charlie Finley and Ken Harrelson, along with the effects of the dramatic changes in American society and the war in Vietnam and the effect it had on the game. So, boy, you bit off a lot in this one.
It is. And the reason I got interested in it is I wrote a book on the Yankees in the 1960s and one on the Mets in the 1960s. And while I was researching it, became fascinated with all things that were going on in baseball at that time. And you just read what they were. There were so many things that were causing people to think that baseball was not going to be the national pastime anymore. Because, you know, remembering back at that time, now we have so many sports that baseball doesn't stand out. They call it the national pastime, but certainly Super Bowl Sunday is bigger than the World Series. But until the 1960s, baseball was it. And all of a sudden people said, maybe it's not going to be it anymore.
So what was going on in American society that you saw that somehow affected the game of baseball, and how did baseball react to it?
Everything. You know, the 60s were such a tumultuous time, and that's when I grew up, and I think we all are fascinated by the time in which we grew up. You had the World War II generation, you had my generation, then you have the 9/11 generation. But the war in Vietnam was just by far the biggest event, because it was so more personal in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan because people got drafted. You had a lot of the players in the military. They were draft age. That affected the game. And baseball seemed to be out of touch. Football was a violent sport. It was a violent time. People were looking for new things. Baseball was traditional. It was just out of touch. There was so many changes in American society at that time, and baseball just by its nature at the time was not changing.
How did baseball react to that? And let's talk about the commissioner first. Who was the commissioner in the period you're talking about? Because I know Bowie Kuhn became commissioner in there somewhere, but we had the unknown soldier, William Eckert, in there at some point.
Eckert was probably the worst commissioner in the history of baseball. The commissioner's office evolved from Kennesaw Mountain Landis on down, and the reason they picked Eckert is vague. To this day, I don't think anyone knows why he was selected, other than the fact they thought he had some connections in Washington. But the story is that, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it goes around that they thought they were picking Eugene Zuckert, who had been the Secretary of the Air Force, and Zuckert, Eckert, two military guys, they got confused. But Eckert knew nothing about baseball. He tried, but he was not a marketing type. He was very dull. You can get away with a lot of things if you're funny, interesting, gregarious. Happy Chandler. Happy Chandler had a great personality, very outgoing. Eckert was not. He gave most of his speeches from file cards. And the story is that the first time he had to give a speech to a baseball group, he pulled out the wrong file cards and started talking about the airline industry. people just made a joke out of him. He was not the guy to lead baseball in its toughest time.
So Bowie Kuhn, of course, he succeeds Eckert. And, of course, he's the counsel for the National League. Is he any better?
I think so. I wrote about Kuhn in that, and one of the big stories of the late 60s, starting in 69 when Kuhn became commissioner, into the 70s, was the battle between Marvin Miller and Bowie Kuhn. And Marvin Miller generally comes out, or Bowie Kuhn generally comes out second best in all narratives. And I wrote a little bit differently. I interviewed Bob Weirs, who's a friend of mine who worked for Bowie as his public relations director. And Bob, of course, spoke very highly of him, but I think Bowie was in a very difficult position. The commissioner of baseball at one time was supposed to run all of baseball. By the time Kuhn took over, the situation had changed, the labor situation had changed, the laws had changed, society had changed, and he was really the head of the owners' union. And the owners were going off in 24 different directions. He had to try to corral them, and I think he did as good. I don't think he was a superstar, the best commissioner of all time. I think Pete Rozelle was probably the best commissioner, sports commissioner of all time. But I think Kuhn did the best he could in a very difficult situation.
Well, offense was an issue, and we're going to talk about comparing things in the 60s to today and the way baseball is evolving and what you think, where the game is going. But they were concerned about offense in 68. I named the pitchers that you wrote about. And, of course, they lowered the mound, and then the designated hitter came in 72 or 3?
73.
Yeah. So baseball did evolve that way. What did you think about that? Did baseball have to do something at that point?
I think they did. I mean, the game's just becoming so tedious. When you have low shutouts, no-hitters are exciting, but not when they happen every day. And I think baseball, in terms of tedium, has a similar situation today. I watched the Yankees-Angels game today, and an hour and a half in, they were in the bottom of the third inning with a nothing-nothing score. You know, I write when I'm doing things. I have my laptop out, so I was watching in the background, but talk about tedious.
Yeah, you're right. And I think the way they scored, walk, hit by batsman, and, something like that.
Yeah, I did some really simple analysis because I'm not a stats guy. And I took a half dozen games or so from the 50s and 60s and wanted to see how often the ball was put in play. Because that's what the action is. And it was about every 2.5 minutes, fairly consistently. Went to some current games, 4.5, 5.5, 6 minutes. And in this game, it had to be 6 minutes between balls put in play. I mean, that's a long time between any action.
So what does baseball do in today? Because, look, it's still wildly popular. They're always going to set attendance records, as I talked about the American League. The country loves home runs. We're seeing home runs by the dozen. StatCast has changed the way we look at a game. Where is baseball going, in your opinion?
Well, I think what baseball has done today, and you're right, people say, oh, baseball's dying, it's terrible, but they're setting records for attendance. Franchises are selling for astronomical figures. And I think what baseball has succeeded in doing is marketing the game to people who don't like baseball. Back in the 60s, they were marketing for the baseball fan, people who wanted to go and knew the averages and who were the regulars and the season ticket holders. And you look at most attendances now, any good seats, somebody's there on some corporate ticket or somebody else's ticket. You see those empty seats behind home plate in Yankee Stadium. It doesn't mean people aren't there. It means they're in the restaurants. They're in the bars. They're doing something else. So there's a baseball game going on, but that's not the only thing that's going on. And I think they've really succeeded in marketing the other features of going out to a baseball game as opposed to baseball itself.
Now, I agree with you. I'm amazed at how many people walk around the ballpark at AT&T Park during the game. You think the game, they were just coming to the game. That's how many people are walking around during the game. It's really incredible finding other things to do. Bill Reichick is with us. The book is really a lot of fun. It's Baseball on the Brink, The Crisis of 1968, R-Y-C-Z-E-K, and it is a McFarland published book. Well, the last thing I want to mention to you, civil rights during the 60s. We had riots. We had a lot of civil unrest. We had assassinations. We had Martin Luther King. How did baseball respond to that, specifically players, and how did the game respond to the civil unrest?
Well, you had a lot more black players in the 60s than you'd had in the 50s and 40s. Integration started with Jackie Robinson, but it was very slow. You'd have 2, 3, maybe 4 African-Americans on a team. But in the 60s, you had a lot of blacks. You had a lot of Latins. So when you had Martin King assassinated, it became a very controversial issue with some teams, is that whether they would play, whether they would not play. Kennedy the same way. And that was where Eckert really dropped the ball. He just left it up to the teams whether or not they would play. And you had teams arguing after King's, when King's funeral was taking place. The Dodgers wanted to play. The Phillies said they wouldn't play. They'd forfeit instead. Walter Malley didn't want to cancel it. Finally, he canceled. Kennedy's was worse. They had players on the field, games, and the fans in the stands. They didn't know whether they should start or not. It's just the whole thing was just chaos. and they responded so poorly, the baseball really got a black eye. And I think the Kennedy episode was maybe the last straw with the owners for Eckert. He just embarrassed the sport. But there were some players who were all of a sudden thinking about there was more to life than baseball. Anybody who plays a professional sport has to be so dedicated to that sport that they spend their whole life at it. And they tend to be insulated, but the first time players were starting to think about what was going on outside the game. And they were young, and young people in the 60s were very rebellious, and they started to identify that. You had people using drugs. You had players smoking pot. Nobody knew it. Nobody said anything about it, but that was starting to happen. And the players were different. They were not as easy to control. So Eddie Stanky, Leo DeRocher had a really hard time because the players wouldn't listen to them. They couldn't yell at people like they did in the 40s and 50s.
Boy,
the players were different.
Yeah, very good. Great. And that's part of the book, and I really enjoyed learning about that. And, of course, we talk about Robert Kennedy's assassination in 1968, along with Martin Luther King. Wow, very good. You really hit it well in this one. It's a great topic, so I appreciate having you on. How's the book doing?
I'll know when I get the next royalty statement in the year. I don't know. I'm getting a lot of good publicity, a lot of good feedback. We'll see. It's an interesting topic to me, and I think if for people of that generation who were around in 1968, they would really enjoy it. If you were born in 1992, maybe not.
Well, I disagree. I think everything that we learn about U.S. history, we could see through the eyes of baseball. That's my project. And I think baseball's been there throughout everything in history that's gone on in the United States since baseball's been around. So it does connect generations. And I think people, younger people should take a look at it because we love baseball, and it's good to see what went on in the country through the eyes of baseball. So I think you did it well.
Thank you.
All right, Bill, thanks. All right, that is Bill Rychek. We'll be back with more right after this.